Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? I am your co-host, Anthony Ciardelli. Unfortunately, Husky couldn't make today. He is working at the coffee shop and tending to an under-the-weather family member, but that's okay because we have a very interesting interview on tap for today with Brian Allen. He's a former Ducks defenseman. He played over two seasons in Anaheim. He's a veteran of 721 NHL games. He was drafted fourth overall by the Vancouver Canucks in the 1998 NHL entry draft, and he played in the World Juniors in 1999. So a very interesting interview. Brian was great, and here it is. Thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. And no problem for Candy either. I can appreciate probably, you know, starting a new business and running a business, it's, there's probably always something, and then a family too. So.
Absolutely. So starting off earlier in your career, speaking to Kent, and we've had Ben Lovejoy on, they kind of talked about the college route getting to the NHL, but you took kind of the other common route. You were highly touted when you were young. You went fourth overall, played in the World Juniors, and then and ended up playing in the NHL pretty early. What was that experience like and the expectations for you?
You know, I think it kind of came in different stages. Growing up in Canada, it was, you know, the hockey mecca, and everyone was looking for the fast road. And I'm not really sure when it kind of maybe came to realization that it was an actual reality. I played in the OHL, so I think that was the first kind of decision maker in anyone's youth hockey when they're you know, looking to go to the NHL. I think you had the options of going to college or going through the OHL when you're or the CHL in Canada. And it's kind of, you know, unfortunate rules, I would almost think, because you're making that decision. I made that when I turned 16 and gave up my eligibility to go to college. And luckily it worked out. But, you know, it's a lot of times when kids are in that position now, it's hard to know, and things can change quickly. But so as soon as I played, I left home at 16. I was drafted to the Oshawa Generals. And spent my, you know, 2 years there, and then was drafted to Vancouver fourth overall. So, like I said, I was fortunate that it worked out. And you know, it's hard to remember back exactly the pressures. I think it's just, you know, you're in that environment of such a focus on hockey that I think that, you know, you're just in it. You know, you just keep going, and you don't. Maybe I think you're maybe a little naive in still being a kid and a teenager, that reality didn't really set in probably until it was really close. But I do know that, you know, after I got to Vancouver and realized that the difference between maybe CHL media and NHL media, and then going to a Canadian market, it was pretty intense for me. And I remember it definitely felt like a lot of pressure. You know, and then you mentioned World Juniors. I had the opportunity to play World Juniors. I was 18 at the time, but so I was a year younger than most guys, and I got to play, and it was in Winnipeg.
Chilling
experience that was. Yeah, it was in the old Winnipeg Jets arena. And, you know, to this date, I don't think I played in a louder arena.
And what was it like? I mean, you made your NHL debut at age, was it age 19 or age 20?
It was actually 20. Okay. So my first year, actually, I went back to junior. And then the next year I'd signed in that May, and then the next season, you know, the plan was for me to play in Vancouver, or I would have had to go back to junior again. But I actually got hurt in training camp, and then I had two surgeries. I had a surgery on my knee and a surgery on my shoulder. And the surgery on my knee was first. And then as soon as I was kind of off crutches, I went under and I did my shoulder as well. So it was a bit of a tough way to start a career. Mm-hmm. But you know what, I think, you know, looking back on it, things happen for a reason. And I think it really helped me develop sort of that pro mentality. And they kept me in Vancouver for my rehab. And I really got to learn kind of behind the scenes of what it took to be a professional. And just the commitment and the hard work and the details. And so I think everyone's going to get hurt in their career. And unfortunately, I did at other times as well. But it really prepared me of how to get through injuries, deal with injuries, and sort of that adversity early in my career was, maybe a blessing in disguise.
You mentioned learning to become a pro kind of behind the scenes. There were some big names on that Vancouver team on defense. Who were some of the guys that kind of took you under their wing and kind of helped you in that process?
You know, we had a really, really good team early on. And actually, when I first got there, they weren't very good, but they were kind of turning the corner. It was even my first training camp where I had Mike Keenan. But he wasn't there. The next year, Mark Crawford came in. But Ed Jovanovski was one of the guys that definitely was one of their leaders and really tried to help the young guys. But we had, you know, especially I remember a guy like Murray Barron that was probably more my style. And you know, he was a quiet guy, but he was a guy that I really looked up to in the sense of how he handled himself. And you know, I kind of had to play his game and just watching how he did things, how he conducted himself was pretty cool to learn from guys like that.
And when you moved on from Vancouver to Florida, but it kind of in between there was the lockout. You played in Russia. What was that experience like playing? I mean, it was a Super League back then, right?
Yeah, it was the Super 16 League. And just having the lockout year alone was weird and hard. And I had probably just started to establish myself and my position as playing in the NHL. So it kind of came at a difficult time and a time that probably worried me a little bit just because you know how quickly things can change in a league. And, my style of play and I guess eligibility, you know, I didn't go to the AHL and looking for other spots in Europe was kind of hard for me. You know, there was a lot of guys that were, you know, going over and I knew I needed to play and needed to play somewhere and just to keep up on, you know, the game, because the game changes so quickly and I didn't want to get behind on anything. The opportunity actually came in Russia, which was, a very interesting, unique experience and one that really stands out in a life experience. Russia is such a different place in the time that I went in 2005. There's so many stories and crazy stories of how things work there. But it was good. And I remember it was after, I think it was about a week or 2 weeks. And I was like, I was ready to go home. There's no English and the way I was, where I was living, I was in their baza. And most guys, it was Hemik Bosker Sensk was the team. And it was about 90 minutes outside of Moscow. So most guys would leave and go live in Moscow. And I was in this small little town and on those days in between, I was by myself and it was hard. But I stuck with it knowing that I needed to play and it was good in a sense too, because it was not my typical game. It was the big ice. It was more skilled. It was a lot of skating, but it gave me an opportunity to work on those things too, with a little less pressure. My coach was, I don't think he spoke any English. So, I mean, even if he's yelling at me, I didn't know what he was saying. So
would the Russian players translate for you, or would they just kind of like, would you kind of look to them to be like, well, what's he saying?
You can kind of get a sense, no matter what language it is, of what maybe the message is, good or bad. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the other Russian players, like there was other, English-speaking Russians that were on the team, and you could definitely—they were so good, and translating if I wanted it to be, or they thought I needed to know something. But for the most part on games, like, you could figure out what was the message, I guess.
The language of hockey.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every player knows when they make a mistake. You don't always need to be told. The coaches seem to want to tell you anyway. But probably the hardest part was practices, because you'd go to the board and they'd be scribbling lines and screaming in Russian, and you try to stay at the back of the line as much as possible and figure it out as quickly as you can. But sometimes you're thrown into the fire and you'd be quickly asking, you know, maybe your D partner of, you know, what are we doing?
Oh, you man.
Playing the whole drill again to me. So, but like I said, it was a crazy, unique experience. But I can still remember to this day the day I came back and flew into Toronto, and coming into that airport and like having English speaking around me and English signs and the appreciation of the English language was good to have again.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I can't imagine doing drills when you don't know how they're explained. It's like kind of like that nightmare people have where they go up to give like a big speech and they don't have any clothes on or something. That would be frightening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just kind of got used to it. You know, you just, whatever, you know, and you got in line. So,
yeah,
you know, like I said, it was a lot less pressure, and I learned to have fun with it. And, it turned out to be a good experience and a good scenario looking back on things. But, you know, in the moment, at times it was hard. It was lonely at times. And you're such in your head because of the language and, you know, but a lot of the other guys are really good too.
Yeah. So moving on later in your career, you spent a lot of time between Florida, Carolina, and Anaheim, and I guess we'll put it in quotes, non-traditional hockey markets, although they've all had various different success. Would you say overall, I mean, they're probably all different in their own ways, but what was playing all that time in hockey markets in warm weather, not exactly known to be, I mean, I guess besides Anaheim, known to be big on hockey. How was that? What would you say kind of, how did that help your career?
You know, it was interesting for sure. And, you know, when I was in Vancouver and was there for long enough I was very thankful that I had the opportunity to play in a Canadian, you know, more traditional, very traditional hockey market where the sport and the team was everything. So it goes from, you know, 24-hour talk radio to I don't know how many pages in the sports section every day. And so there's such a microscope under you that, you know, I got traded in the summer at the draft. You know, which is the first time I had traded, which was even a unique experience because it was, you know, I remember I was at my cottage in Kingston, Ontario, and I was watching a movie. It was Friday night when they started the draft, the first round on the Friday night, and didn't have my cell phone down with me or whatever. And then next thing you know, my cottage phones ring. Nobody ever called even then. And I picked it up and it was my dad, and he's like, "Are you watching the draft?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, looks like he just got traded."
Oh.
And so sure enough, like, I go up and check my phone. There's a bunch of messages and, you know, saw my name on the ticker and then talked with I talked with the GM of Vancouver that day, but just messages saying that, yeah, he'd been traded to Florida. And so that whole shock and coming totally out of the blue, I think it was even my exit meeting that year was, you know, again, pretty positive and, you know, part of the future and, you know, all the kind of BS sometimes that can be put into a meeting now that I realize it. But, you know, things happen and learn quickly how much of a business it is and shifted the mentality and had to go down to Florida to find a place to live. And they were really good about bringing us in early and making us feel welcome. But it was exciting in a sense that you got away from that day-to-day pressure because, you know, there was always speculation and, you know, and when you're in Vancouver and there's 10 sports writers up there every day and every practice of, you know, he's got different tape on his stick today, or, you know, what's going on? And it's always something. And, you know, going to Florida, you've got a little breathing room, which in the beginning was good. You got, like I said, that breathing room. I got a, probably a bigger role, bigger opportunity on a younger team, a team that was, you know, constantly changing and changed every year that I was there, whether it was ownership and management and coaches. It was a different environment, and you know, they were trying to figure out how to make it work in a non-traditional market. But like I said, it was good, and then it got hard because we didn't have great teams, didn't make playoffs for 6 years, and there was no sort of consistency in direction. I think that was the hardest part. Every year to year was, you know, at least you had a reinvigoration of doing well, but we struggled, and it was hard. And I remember even living in, you know, the warm weather climate and being on the East Coast, and it was like you know, a destination for holidays for most people. So we'd have people coming in, and you know, you have a house or a pool or the beach is nearby, and everyone else is on vacation mode, but I still had to go to work. And you know, you had to get used to that a little bit too. So there was, it was good and great experience. And I think it was really good for my career because it, like I said, it gave me an opportunity to have a bigger role. And, but towards the end, I know I had, I signed one of my longest contract. It was 5 years, and I had a no trade, and in my fifth year playing there, the trade deadline was coming up, and I think it was 7 veterans traded before me. I had a no trade clause, and I, you know, constant contact with my agents and asking, you know, is my name coming up? Did they want to move me? What's going on? And he said, no, you know, it's been pretty quiet. It was the day of the draft or day of the trading deadline. And went to practice, and there was a couple guys got pulled off of practice and got traded, and the deadline was at 3, and we had a flight to go to Carolina. They bumped it to, you know, 3:30, so they could trade the guys they wanted to, and they wouldn't be stuck in a flight. And I remember on the way home from practice, you know, going to grab my stuff to get to the plane, and I see my agents calling me, and I'm like, oh, man. So sure enough, he calls me and says, yeah, there's a trading place for you to go to Carolina, but, you know, you have no trade, it's up to you. And at the time, my wife was pregnant with her second child. And so I go home and I tell her, and she's like, you got to be kidding me. They, you know, wait till the last minute. And I had about 30 minutes to decide and going to Carolina. And, you know, I can't thank her enough, my wife. I think I lucked out, but she was understanding and encouraging, and I think you need to go. You know, you have a chance to make playoffs, and the team that wants you, who knows, it even if it's not now, it might be in the summertime, they want to move you, so why not take an opportunity? So decided to, you know, accept the trade and went to Carolina. And I remember even that day, you know, a funny story with, you know, how sometimes the business gets involved. And I remember calling after to the team services guy. I said, like, you guys are going to Carolina, playing Carolina tomorrow. And I said, I can still go on the flight, right? And fly with you guys there. And she said, yeah, I don't see why not. And I got to check with the GM. And sure enough, he calls me about 10 minutes later. He's like, yeah, he doesn't think it's right or whatever, that you come on the team flight still, we're going to get you a flight, commercial flight. So, so I'm like, whatever. Okay. So I, you know, they booked my flight, and it was a couple hours later, but then that flight was delayed, and I didn't leave Florida until like midnight. Got into Carolina at like 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. and get to the hotel, and we played Florida Panthers the next night. So it was a pretty surreal, you know, timing, you know, literally practicing with that team before Panther the day before and playing them the next night.
Wow.
But fortunately we won. So
yeah, there you go. Get a little bit of revenge.
Yeah. But it's always different when you play against a team that, you know, your buddies and teammates the day before and the next night you're not.
Yeah, that's such a strange, I mean, that's, I don't think that's something you experience in any other workplace. It's very unique to professional sports. When you signed in Anaheim as a free agent, what were the motivators for you to sign there? I mean, obviously the contract probably was, the offer was probably pretty good, but were there other, were there, what were the kind of the ingredients that, that went into your decision?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it comes down to a family decision at that point. I had two kids and that was a big factor. Carolina before that, that last trade deadline and coming into it, I had a year left. So I finished that last season when I got traded. Then I had the next season I played in Carolina and coming to that trade deadline, we didn't have a very good team and knew I was going to be a free agent. And, Carolina had offered me a 2-year deal and I really wanted a 3-year deal. Just in my, you know, age and a little bit of history with some injuries. And I think that might've been some hesitation by some teams for that third year. But I felt like I wanted to get it over to myself. And when Anaheim called, it was a 3-year deal. And so that was one of the criteria that I was looking for. And then even looking at the team, you know, I think Bruce had come in the second half of that season and they were playing really well and finished. I don't think they made the playoffs that season, but the way they finished and the opportunity to have a good team and play in a good team was a good motivator. They signed Sheldon Surrey. So they were trying to, put some pieces in place to have a good team. And, you know, I think the allure of even coming to California was a little bit, it's a great place to live. You know, it's a little bit further even being from the East Coast originally in Canada. If I would never have come to California, I probably would have retired more in Florida or on the East Coast. But, you know, I think the biggest deciding factor was that it was a 3-year deal, knowing my age and where I was in my career, that was important and probably the most deciding factor for me.
What was your favorite memory from your time in Anaheim that stands out the most?
You know, it turned out to be, you know, unfortunately, that first part of that season when I first signed here was another lockout. So there's a bit of a delay, but I think getting back to the playoffs, you know, we had a good team here and it was fun to be back in a winning environment where you expected to win every night. And going through so many years of not making playoffs and teams struggled and finding, you know, motivation in different ways when you know you don't even have a chance to play in the playoffs. Coming back to that was a great way to sort of somewhat end my career of playing on a good team. But probably the best memory was and probably one of the highlights of my career was playing in the Stadium Series game in Dodger Stadium.
Oh, wow. I didn't even that. What, I mean, how different is that? I can't imagine. I've seen a game played at Fenway before, just a college game. And as a fan, it's so weird being in a baseball field, watching a hockey game. It does, like the dimensions don't really line up, but what is it like just playing as a player being in there? They talk about the different, I mean, mostly for goalies, like references and reference angles and all that stuff. But what is it like just spatially and the way it feels skating on that ice?
Yeah, the perception is so different, and it was almost hard to take it as a, I don't want to say serious game, but like a league game that it, because it was so different. It felt like you're playing a pond hockey game, which I guess sort of the theory is supposed to be, but yeah, but definitely the perception of, you know, the puck goes above the boards and you kind of lose maybe where it is sometimes just because of the depth of where the fans are and things are outside of the boards. But totally surreal in the fact of, you know, walking out in palm trees and in a baseball stadium. But, you know, once you start playing it, the ice was better than anyone probably could have thought in Southern California would be, but just an overall great experience, the whole couple of days that you have and the opportunity the day before to skate with your family. And I was pretty grateful to be able to experience one of those games. I know a lot of teams, there's a couple of teams that get to play in it almost every year. But, you know, playing for Anaheim, I thought there would never be a chance. And when that got announced, it was pretty cool to experience and look forward to.
Before we continue this interview, let's talk about some personal hygiene. Support for the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast comes from Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. If you are going to pick any New Year's resolution this year, let it be to take care of your junk. Manscaped is making it easy with their men's grooming products. Just like surgeons don't use butter knives for their important procedures, don't go using a dull instrument on yours. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, at manscaped.com. Start the new year off right by using the best tools for the job. Your nuts will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. And you're speaking of the playoffs a little bit further back, you score your first playoff goal in your, I think, your second season with Anaheim. What did that feel like finally breaking through in the playoffs? I think it was a slap shot from the blue line against the Stars, I believe, correct?
Yeah. You know, for me and my game, I was never a big goal scorer. So being able to score, being in the playoffs again was great. And then being able to score in playoffs was even, you know, another big moment to get towards the end of my career. So it was fun.
And then kind of talking about there's some, you were playing for the Ducks at kind of an interesting time where there's some leftover guys from that Stanley Cup, but there was also a lot of guys that are currently on the team. Who are some characters that stood out to you? Some guys who you just were always making the locker room laugh or something like that?
You know, we had such a good team and good group of guys. You know, and we also had a good mix of older guys and younger guys. It was, you know, towards the end that, of maybe that era of where they did keep around a lot more guys that had some experience. And, you know, playing with a guy like Tamu was, you know, pretty special. You know, you look on a career that he had, and, you know, he was always a jovial guy and fun to be around, and the guys like Saku Koivu you know, was a legend in the game. And but everyone was a pretty good guy. I don't know if it was one particular guy, but we had a good enough mix of older guys, veteran players, and younger guys too, that helped with the experience, I think, for everyone. You know, the guys that were older, playing with younger guys that kept you young, and maybe older guys that kind of can help show the way and the way the game should be played at and dealt with at certain times.
Speaking of playing games, let's talk sports betting. It's 2020 and we're heading into a new year. And for the first time in a long time, the Patriots, unfortunately, aren't making the Super Bowl. So who's your next pick? Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all, from the NBA to the Premier League. Hey, maybe they've got the NHL. They've even got odds on the UFC. And with everybody's favorite Irish nuisance fighting on the 18th, things are bound to get exciting. MyBookie has the fastest payouts, best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use our promo code BLV to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code BLV to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. So you were playing in Anaheim at the height of their rivalry against the Kings. I mean, it's when the Kings were winning their cups, you guys still had a lot of cup winning veterans. What were those games like?
They were intense. They were true battles. And looking at playing them in the playoffs, in the year that they won the cup, and looking back on that series and what could have been, if we had beat them, being down 2-0 in Anaheim, and then coming back, winning 3 games in a row, 2 in their arena, it was devastating for a lot of us. Knowing that it was that close for us to beat a team like that, and thinking that we had a good chance if we could get by them, and seeing what they did after us, I think it hurt even more. But they were fun games to play. They were battles. They had a big strong team, and we had a big strong team, and it probably still stings to this day losing to them in that game 7. I think we should have won game 6, but in LA.
Sorry to bring up a painful memory. My apologies.
Yeah, no, it's all part of it. It might be painful, but they're good memories.
Yeah. When you were in Anaheim, I believe you were there. Your first year was, or maybe your second year was the year that they traded Bobby Ryan to Ottawa for Jakob Silfverberg, correct?
Yeah.
What was that like kind of behind the scenes? I remember Ryan, there was kind of some news that Ryan wanted out, and kind of being a local guy, he does eventually get traded to Ottawa, and you get back Jakob Silfverberg, who's become one of the mainstays on the Ducks right now. What was that like behind the scenes?
Well, I think it was, a little bit shocking, Bobby was in his prime probably, and the prolific goal scorer and what he can do. You've got to give a lot of praise and accolades to Bob, to Murph for making that trade and seeing what he did out of Silfverberg, because you see the player he is now. And he was young, and it maybe took him a little bit. You didn't see the immediate results, but you could see it. He was such a skilled player, and it took some time for him. But I think it was shock. And I think there's any time there's a trade on your team and one of your teammates, friends, buddies gets traded, it's a bit of a shock, especially when it was a player of Bobby's magnitude.
So you overlapped a little bit with William Karlsson when he was in Anaheim, and I've just always been curious. I mean, what he was like in Anaheim. He goes on to a couple other teams, and when he's in Vegas, he has absolutely breaks out. Do you remember playing with him at all, or what that experience was like?
Yeah, I remember a little bit, and it was his first couple of years in the league, it's shocking. I think the question may be more in Columbus. I think they'd be a little bit more shocked of making the trade that they did. But, I don't think he was, I didn't know him to be the Wild Bill. I knew that nickname came out when he was here, but I don't know where he really got that from. But, it's crazy to see the player that he's turned into. But again, a guy like Sylvie that had the skills, had the tools, and sometimes it just takes a little bit of time and the right opportunity, the right situation, the right coach, whatever makes those stars align for him, give him the opportunity. I mean, the parity of the game and the difference in players is crazy, and it's there's so many guys that you almost wonder sometimes what they could have been if they might have had the right situation, the right time, and the right coach. And it can be so hard to get that opportunity. And it's all about time in the league. It's crazy. I talk about even in my career and having young kids and being around young kids again now, it's so hard to make the NHL. And I almost put it in perspective and try to say, like, even if I was given the same opportunity again to play the game, at a young age, my parents did everything that they did that I'm thankful for. And, I might not make it. I might not have the career ahead. In fact, I probably wouldn't. There's so many different things that come into factor, whether it's, a coach or an injury or an illness. And, you spend time in the minors, and if you're not available when they call on you for your opportunity and you miss that window, it's somebody else. And it's crazy. Sometimes the difference in what makes a guy's career and what doesn't. There's so many good players that play in the AHL and in Europe, and it's a very, very competitive position, a league, and it's a funny game and one that I'm extremely grateful for now. And it's funny when you have a couple of years post retirement and an opportunity to look back on things and just how fortunate and lucky I was to play in the NHL and for as long as I did.
Last question. How is it? How are things in retirement? How are, what are you up to and how's the family?
Oh, good. It's, I think it's about 5 years now since I played, which is long enough, but still close enough that there's still good memories and it's fun going to games now. The switch has kind of changed of early on, you still are close to the game, and now I can go to games, and I have an 8-year-old son, an 11-year-old daughter that are both active in sports, and my son's playing hockey now. So I get to get back into the game in a different way. And I know for the first couple of years it was slow and didn't really want to be around the game just because it turned into such a business and it was a long grind. But that time has given it perspective and appreciating it with him again and going to games with him. But just finding different things to stay busy in and keep motivated in different ways and learning different things and starting to get into the business world in different ways.
Very nice. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. It was a great conversation and good luck going forward. I'm sure we'll bump into each other again.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
That'll do it for episode 18 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast. Thanks to Brian Allen for coming on. I had a great time interviewing him. I hope you guys all liked the interview as well. You can find me on Twitter at DeliTweets. That's DELLITWEETS. And you can find Kent on Instagram at Husk_Verna. That's HUSK_VERNA. We'll see you next week.